Finney Smith to inbound. Back to Doncic. Doncic pulls up. Three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer!
Week 125 of Brad's Branded Thoughts. And that's a good fitting way to start the program. If anybody didn't know this, we tried to start the program yesterday. Did you know that, Noah? Did you know we tried to record the program yesterday?
Wait, we actually tried to record the program yesterday? I thought we were just talking about having a podcast.
This is take two. You'd think I had done this podcast for like 7 or 8 years. But anyways, Doncic with the game winner in game five, unfortunately, or game four, unfortunately, it wasn't enough as the Clippers closed things out today. 4-2, the final series score, and I can't help but think, and it's not, as a Mavs fan, it's not an excuse, but I can't help but think how different this series would have been had Kristaps Porzingis been healthy. Noah, how could this series have changed if KP had been able to go over half the series? I think he played the first three games and, of course, missed the final three, and we know that he was ejected. It was gone for half of those first three games.
Well, the big thing when it comes to having Kristaps Porzingis in this matchup is the Clippers don't really have anybody to go head-to-head with him. He's just so much bigger, and, of course, being as skilled as he is offensively, they just don't really have anybody to really compete with him. So it's a big mismatch for the Mavericks that they just didn't have in this matchup for, like you're talking about, basically more than half of it.
Can we all agree, and again, I'm talking to Noah Kruko, Makai Kruko, Alex Bratta will join us momentarily, but can we all agree, and again, I'm a homer, I'm a Mavs fan, can we all agree, though, Doncic and this team put on quite a show without him? For them to be able to match up with the Clippers, I think for a lot of people, the favorites to win the title, I know you guys like the Bucks. I think a lot of people are on the Lakers bandwagon right now. I happen to think the Raptors have a chance, although the Celtics would disagree with that, especially judging by their performance against Toronto today in the semis. But I'm just saying, I was just so impressed as a Mavs fan with how this team played and completely exceeded my expectations, even if Porzingis had been there. For them to push this thing to six, and I think the refs botched game one, I believe that. So it could have easily been a game seven, and who knows what would have happened. How impressed are you with Doncic? And obviously the future is bright in Dallas, but how impressed were you with their ability to push the Clippers nearly to the brink?
Well, it's more of a series than I thought it was going to be going in. But
and then you have
a player like Doncic, this is going to happen.
But again, you were projecting what would happen with Doncic and Porzingis. So again, they exceeded your expectations with half of their dual threat there.
True.
I thought the refs were terrible all series, and I'm a homer, but they were terrible. Now,
the refs have been terrible across the NBA for years.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. In fact, some of my most recent Dallas Maverick playoff memories have been as a result of terrible reffing. I remember the Rajon Rondo year, Dallas lost to Houston, and Dirk was still on that team. Dallas lost to Houston in the first round. I think they may have pushed that to six. It might have just been five, and the refs were just garbage.
I thought as a Mavericks fan, you're legally obligated to forget that year happened.
No, because I went to a Dallas game and we booed Rajon Rondo, and I ever tell you about this? I went to a Mavs game when they played the Kings, and it was hilarious because every time that Rajon Rondo touched the ball, everybody boo. It was hilarious. It was so fun. So
wow.
Dallas doesn't really like Rajon Rondo. That was the one place that he really didn't work. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's the one place really he's been successful in L.A. He was successful in Sacramento. He certainly was successful in Boston. It's just amazing to me sometimes guys don't fit in.
New Orleans.
Yeah, the Pelicans. So L.A. closes out the series 4-2 over Dallas. Did you have something to add, Noah?
I was just going to ask, what year was that again that you're talking about with Rondo on the Mavericks?
Was that 15? 14, 15?
I believe it would have been... Wait, could have been 15. I'm gonna look that up.
And I gotta leave this page up. I gotta open it.
I know Dwight Howard was with the Rockets.
Around 2015 then.
Yeah, it was just a terrible series to watch. 14-15,
he played for Dallas. See, only the second half of the year, he started in Boston.
I'm trying to remember.
And he never saw the floor for Dallas. Center. Who?
Yeah, they finished 50-32.
Didn't the players vote to exclude Rajon Rondo from the playoff pool?
Yeah.
No. Well, I'm talking about the playoffs because what happened was that was a 4-2 or 4-1 series that LA was or that Houston won, but Rajon Rondo, that was the series he was actually trying to guard Harden, and I don't know if it was game one or game two, and he didn't play the rest of the series because he basically gave up. He got an 8-second violation call for walking the ball up the court too slow, and he was a joke. And I don't know, there was obviously an attitude issue there, and I don't think him and Rick Carlisle got along. And I know we talked about it off the air yesterday because we didn't record our podcast, so we're not going to spend as much time as we did yesterday, but how bright is Dallas' future with who they have? And again, they've got Doncic locked in for at least a couple more years. They've got Porzingis locked in to another 4 years, I believe. How good is this team going to be if they can add maybe a couple defensive pieces? I think they need to get a big man besides Boban Marjanovic. I like Boban, but he's just not. First of all, he's not a starting center, and he's not a 2020
position in Dallas is really weird.
The best thing for the Mavericks at this point is some sort of defensively oriented big man that they can put as their primary rim protector. Since Porzingis he's not bad.
He gets plenty of blocks. But he's just not strong enough to be an amazing defender. He's just long enough to be good.
But then you could also have Porzingis playing on the outside and then maybe another big man to play inside. But anyways, between Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, I mean, Luka Doncic is 21, just turned 21, and he's already in MVP consideration.
Well, I will say this. I don't know the last time that I was this sad to see a season end for my team. I mean, honestly, that's how much I really do love this team. I hope they can retain. That's the disappointing thing about the NBA teams is that there's so much turnover with players, and you go to love these players, and then they're gone. I remember I really liked... I had an affinity for Al-Farouq Aminu when he was with Dallas, and then he just was gone. And I thought he was a piece that Dallas could really use, but it's all business. But I do think Dallas is serious about keeping Porzingis and Doncic. I don't know. I don't know about the future for Tim Hardaway Jr. Maybe you guys have insight into the contracts of some of these guys, but I don't know about Burke. I don't foresee them keeping Burke because they've got Jalen Brunson who will be coming back from injury. I mean, that's the other thing. Nobody's really talking about this. Dallas was not only down Porzingis. I don't know if you guys realize this, but Willie Cauley-Stein opted out. Dwight Powell was hurt. Jalen Brunson was hurt. They were missing four of their regular rotation guys.
Any one of them wouldn't have been a big deal, but... You know, you get that many, and you're just depth.
And I do think Willie Cauley-Stein and Dwight Powell would have both been because they're both big men, and that's what they were missing. I felt like in the series, especially with Porzingis out, Maxi Kleber is just not a traditional big man.
And on top of that, let's not forget Doncic's ankle that was rolled on and stepped on by Marcus Morris early in the series.
Yeah, I really do like Luka Doncic. I like, and I'm not saying we don't know him, he plays players personally, but he seems to be more of the humble of the superstars in the league right now. I know we talked at length about that last night, whether or not that has to do with the fact that he is a European player and he kind of learned things the hard way over there, right? Whereas maybe some guys here didn't have to go that route. But I don't know. I just That was a fun series to watch. Disappointed that Dallas came out on the short end of things. Really thought they had a chance, especially after the Doncic game winner. I thought Dallas had some momentum there, but it was going to be tough without Porzingis and tough when Doncic was hobbled, and he was. He was hobbled for most of the series. They didn't really come out with much fight today. I thought today they just looked flat for most of the game. They did make a run in the third quarter and cut it from 23 down to 6. And I thought at that point, hey, they got a chance in the fourth, but I think ran out of gas. And again, when you're going with that small rotation, it's tough. And Luka Doncic put the team on his back, but just wasn't enough. I'm watching TNT right now. First playoff appearance for the Dallas Mavericks since 2006. They are 0-5 in series since winning the title in 2011. Hardaway Jr. is a notable free agent, and Trey Burke is a unrestricted free agent. So that's pretty light as far as turnover. Am I wrong? Those are the only two guys that are free agents? Well, this says notable free agents. Maybe you guys can confirm that, but is that pretty, I don't want to say insignificant, but that's not real significant to have those two guys. And I do think they need to keep Hardaway. Hardaway, to me, has flourished more in Dallas than he did in New York. Am I wrong on that?
No, he has.
And I think Burke certainly has flourished more in Dallas. Now, I don't know if there's going to be a spot in Dallas for Burke, because I think Dallas really likes Jalen Brunson. I mean, they drafted Jalen Brunson and wanted to turn him into it, and he's really developed into his consistent guard. So I don't know if there's going to be a spot for him. I don't know how many more years J.J. Barea is going to stay in the NBA, though. So maybe they do want to go guard heavy. I mean, it's a guard's game right now. I'm kind of rambling, aren't I? But, you know, I know that we've got playoffs and we're all excited about the playoffs. I'm kind of bummed out today, but when does the I know there hasn't been an announcement. Adam Silver has speculated. When do you think the 2020-2021 season will start, Makai, if you had to guess? And are we looking at a bubble, or are we looking to get back to normal? What are they wanting to do right now?
Last I heard, they were thinking of having a couple of different bubbles in different locations, that the teams in a location, two or three locations, like Orlando, Chicago, and
Vegas
or something like that, those teams would play each other around and around, get all their games out of the way, and then they move to another bubble and play more teams or whatever. That's what I had heard. I don't think they have anything official. My guess, based on reports that I've heard and speculation from people more knowledgeable than myself, would be around Christmas Day, because the NBA usually has a pretty big slate on Christmas.
And that's usually when interest starts to build, as the football season starts to wind down anyways. Usually.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it going to be winding down this year? I think that might be when it's ramping up for a lot of teams. But anyways, we'll get to that later on. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Raptors and the Celtics. They both sweep, right? They both swept their respective series. Very impressive, and the Celtics looked really good earlier today against Toronto. How good can the Boston Celtics be? Jason Tatum has been spectacular, and you add a defensive-minded hound like Marcus Smart, again with Jaylen Brown, and Gordon Hayward's out, but team looked spectacular today in a win against Toronto.
They're better than they were last year, and they were a championship contender potentially last year. Kemba is not as good of a player as Kyrie, in my opinion. There are plenty of people who will disagree. I think it's close. Kemba's not as good as Kyrie, in my opinion, but he's a better fit with the Celtics. That makes them a better team.
A team that nobody's really talking about is the Miami Heat.
Yeah, sweep over the Pacers.
So why are they not playing? Who are they waiting on?
I think the East is done.
Well, who are they waiting on then? Why haven't they played? Did they play yesterday and I missed it? Noah, get on that. Because I think Miami is one of the more underrated teams. We talked about that prior to the playoffs starting. I think they're more of the dark horse in the East. I could easily see it being Celtics Heat in the conference finals, but I like Toronto too, so it'll be interesting to see. I heard people speculating on Dallas being able to go get Fred VanVleet. Now, why would Dallas no offense to Fred VanVleet. I think he's a terrific player, but why would Dallas be going after Fred VanVleet? Like, what would be the reasoning on that when you have all these guards already?
VanVleet's better than all of your guards?
You think VanVleet's better than all of Dallas's guards?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you obviously don't think Doncic is a guard then.
No, I think he's a forward.
Okay, so you think he's better than Hardaway?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that. You're probably right on that. I don't think he's better than Dallas guards cumulatively. I mean, when you look at Hardaway, Burke, Seth Curry, are you guys bought into Seth Curry? He has been really good with Dallas this year, and in his first stint with Dallas, he's been really good this year with Doncic.
His role on the team fits him and his play style very well. It's a
very, very high percentage shooter.
These other smaller scoring-oriented guards, they just have one job and they do that one job very well, depending on what situation they're in. The reason why there's been a bit of a holdup in the East, specifically with Miami, is because they were waiting for the winner of, well, they were waiting for Milwaukee whenever Milwaukee finally finished off.
Milwaukee
Orlando.
Was...
They finished that series 2 days ago.
Milwaukee was in the only series that wasn't a sweep in the East.
Okay, so I'm assuming that the Magic and the Heat play tomorrow.
The Bucks.
Correct. What did I say? Magic?
I said the Magic.
Bucks and the Heat
play tomorrow. They'll play tomorrow. Let me check.
Okay. Game one is 8:31 at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So 5:30 here.
8:31. What's 8:31?
August 31st.
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And then September 2nd at 5:30 again. None of these
are you guys
are
concerned?
NBA TV, so I won't be able to watch these.
Are you concerned with the Bucks struggling for a while against the Magic? I mean, I say for a while, game one, and there were a couple other games that were a little bit closer than you'd think. I mean, are you guys concerned about this? I still think there's concern based on the fact that, to me, I know that you're going to say it's a reaction. I think that there's no excuse to not be sweeping a Jonathan Isaac-less Magic squad right now. If you're the best team in the league, you ought to be sweeping them. You ought to be sweeping them without Giannis. Let alone with Giannis, you shouldn't be dropping a game to the Magic. That's my opinion.
Well,
I could be wrong on it.
Things happen. You're not going to win every single game. So, is it possible for the Magic to take a game off the Bucks? Sure. Okay. I'm not too worried about it personally. Especially since it was the very first game of the playoffs. I'm not too worried about it. They'll have sorted out whatever their problems were and just continue on with the momentum they gathered through the end of that series. I take as a case in point, that was a better team, obviously, but Milwaukee versus Boston, I'm trying to remember, was that last year? I want to say that was last year. Boston took the first game, and everybody was thinking, it's a series. I mean, the Boston's just going to run away with the series now. And then the Bucks turned around, and I think they came back and, you know, gentlemen swept them. So I'm not too worried about the Bucks dropping a game to the Magic.
Do you guys realize that the first loss for the Toronto Raptors in the bubble was against the Celtics?
That's going to be a really interesting series to watch.
I mean, Boston looked dominant today. That's what's interesting about it. By the way, we want to pay homage to a legend that died this past week. Lute Olson, former Iowa basketball coach, took the Iowa basketball team to the Final Four. Of course, did not stick around Iowa long enough to become one of the all-time winningest basketball coaches at Iowa, but certainly was one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time down in Arizona. But he took Iowa to the Final Four, and great guy, loved the people of Iowa. From what I understand, his big thing about moving to Arizona was two things: weather, which I think we can all understand where he's coming from on that, and then just the stardom that he encompassed while he was at Iowa, I think he got a little tired of it. I think he got tired of being out at restaurants and having people coming up to him and talking to him. And I just don't think he was about that. And but he passed away after a short stint on hospice. So certainly thoughts go out to him and his family. That's a difficult time. The Arizona Wildcat basketball community and the Iowa basketball community. You guys' thoughts on the loss of a legend in Lute Olson?
It's really hard to lose someone that you would respect and would look up to, appreciate what they did or were able to accomplish. But unfortunately, it seems to be happening a lot lately.
What a year. I mean, we talked about this on our last show, I think, with Kobe being gone. I know Hayden Fry died in December of last year. Bump Elliott died shortly before Hayden did. Now you've got Lute Olson, who's gone. This has been a really weird year. And that's not even talking about the derecho. It's not talking about the hurricane. I'm not talking about the derecho, the actual hurricane down in the Gulf, Laura. And then you've got the pandemic to boot, which we can't seem to get rid of, although I think we're getting closer. Can we all agree on that overall? I'm not saying, of course, here in Iowa, things have spiked in certain areas, Ames being one of those areas because of the university, Iowa City being the other. But overall, the numbers are going down, at least if you compare them for the last 2 months. They've gone down, so we hope that we're going in the right direction, and hopefully a vaccine is around the corner. But it's been a weird year. Alex Bratta joins us now. Alex, the Jazz led this series 3-1, and now we're going to Game 7. How did they fail to close this thing out sooner?
Well, I mean, it's the basic problem they had that we all knew they'd have going into this playoffs is lack of firepower with Bogdanovich out. They just didn't have all that much to begin with, and with him on, you know, on the sidelines, they don't have much firepower, so they're having to lean on Mitchell. And right now, since like game 2 or 3, Jamal Murray is playing like one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, he's not missing. Like tonight, he shot 75% from three. They're playing him in a way that to me is giving him threes, giving Jokic threes, and they're beating him with threes. So if that's the plan, you know, if that's the game plan's not working. And I don't know if they're going to change it up at this point, going into a game 7. It's kind of risky to change it up. So I get the feeling this series is going to be dependent on, you know, for the Jazz success, is going to be dependent on Murray going at least a little bit cold, because the level he's maintained here for several games in a row is just out of this world.
Can you explain to me, every time I turn on the television and I watch the Jazz, Niang is sucking. Why is he playing so much?
He didn't play much tonight. I don't think he got more than...
Well, I turned it on the fourth quarter and he bricked 2 3-pointers and he just looks slow.
Yeah, I mean, he, like I said, if with Bogdanovich in, he wouldn't be having to play as much, but they lose a lot of three-point shooting, and he is a good three-point shooter, but he's just super slow on defense, which is his main thing. He's undersized to play inside, and he's too slow to play outside. So he's not really a guy you want on the floor, but they're a little bit shorthanded at that position and just the situation they're in.
It looks like Niang was basically their second guy off the bench with 18 minutes.
Yeah, definitely not ideal. They're also missing Ed Davis, and I'm not actually even sure where he's at. I think he had an injury, but he hasn't played a minute this series, so that's another loss for him.
We've already talked about Dallas. You have any final reaction to Dallas, LA? Of course, Dallas comes up short. I was just talking before you came on here. I will say a heck of a series out of Dallas. Very impressed with the series, and of course, the future is very bright down there. I do want to address one thing. Keep in mind, boys, that we recorded, well, we didn't record, we were thinking we were recording a show yesterday. Yes, we intended to record yesterday, and we talked about Marcus Morris' heinous, I'm going to call it a heinous act, during Game 5 between Dallas and L.A. towards Luka Doncic. He was also the guy that instigated the Kristaps Porzingis ejection in Game 1. He's been in Doncic's ear and a trash talker throughout. I want to share something here, and maybe you guys saw this already. Nod your head if you know what I'm about to share. Alex knows. Yep. All right, here we go. This was today. Okay, let's see here. This was today, guys. I just want you to see this. I'm gonna let it play again. Credit to ESPN on our initial clip. Credit to ESPN on here as well.
Both teams shooting the ball well. 60% for the Clippers, 50% now for the Mavericks. Oh, a hard foul by Morris. And Doncic's up. He wants to go back at him. As we just mentioned, these two have had a bit of a history. Of course, it was in that last game where Morris walked behind Doncic. He said it was unintentional, but stepped on his sneaker, knocking it off. Doncic with that left ankle injury.
And to me, this is clearly a flagrant. Clearly.
Well, there's two things that are clear here. That's a flagrant foul, and Doncic doesn't want to fight Marcus Morris Sr. Those things should be clear.
That is a hard foul. It's also the windup and impact. Doncic was asked about that play from Game 5.
We have a defensive foul followed by a hostile act afterwards. We're going to check and review.
No, that's definitely going to be a flagrant one. Doncic so upset. He was talking about that play from Game 5 and said that he hopes it was not intentional. And they asked him, would you want to talk to him about it if he wanted to say something? And Doncic said, I don't want to talk to him. He's been saying a lot of bad stuff to me in all the games.
Here's my question, though, Mike. If I'm the referee and I'm viewing this, in the back of my mind, I'm remembering the history that has taken place in the previous ball games. So that very well could mean Morris ejected out of this ballgame.
I think they couldn't have it as a flagrant, too, when you saw how it was officiated yesterday in the Houston game.
Okay. We were somewhat skeptical on if the Game 5 act was deliberate, and Part of me that wanted to defend Doncic wanted to say, yeah, that's definitely deliberate. He needs to be suspended. And what happened today, what you just saw that resulted in Morris being ejected, should result in him being suspended, in my opinion. Not because of the fact that he got ejected for a flagrant two, but because of the fact that these things happened back to back. Your thoughts, Alex? I mean, if there was any doubt, after watching what happened in Game 5, there's no doubt after watching what happened in Game 6.
Well, there was basically zero doubt from the stepping on his ankle thing for me, just because I know this guy's reputation. This is not anything new for Morris. This is basically what he brings to a team when he gets shuffled to a new team. This is what he brings them. So, you mentioned last night the... I think it was earlier, this seems like a long time ago, but earlier this season with him, I think he was still on the Knicks, throwing the ball off the head of that guy. I can't remember who it was, but he just does this kind of thing all the time. And yeah, I'm not surprised. But yeah, you would think that a guy like this would get, and you know, he's not really even very covert about it. That's what I think, you know, if you're going to get a suspension, I would think that it could be warranted, because, you know, sometimes the guys that do dirty stuff like Zaza Pachulia, they do it in a way that, you know, closing out, which is even more dangerous than what Morris did, but closing out on somebody, you can't really prove he did it on purpose enough to suspend him. But this one where he's, I don't know if it showed it in the video, but he hacked Doncic once in the head And it was like he felt like he didn't hit him hard enough, so he took the other arm and hacked him again in the head. So
then pushed him, I could see his suspension. Towards the floor when Doncic landed to make sure that he hit the ground hard.
Yeah, I don't have any. I was a little bit hesitant to call Morris out on the game five thing because I thought, well, maybe I'm looking at this wrong, and
he's trying to adjust for potentially being a homer about it, right?
Am I wrong in saying the dude's garbage? I mean, you don't do that. That's just garbage. Listen, if he stepped on Doncic's ankle in game five on purpose and thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that, that's one thing. This dude did it again and swung at his head, the back of his head. You just mentioned it twice. To me, he's garbage and he shouldn't be playing in the NBA. Same way I feel about Ndamukong Suh. Shouldn't even be allowed to play.
To me, there's a couple of things that work together in this whole Marcus Morris scenario. The fact that he has a reputation, which Alex has alluded to repeatedly in our conversations about this. The fact that he did it to Luka in game five, stepping on his ankle. How he hit him in this game, in the clip that you just played, and how hard he hit him. And if you look very closely, after he basically threw Doncic to the ground, he stared him down.
That was it's so overt, and to me, this should be the NBA looking at this and apologizing to the Mavericks and saying, you know what, we're sorry, he shouldn't have even been playing in Game 6. He shouldn't have been playing in Game 6. Am I wrong in that? He didn't get ejected from Game 5, and hindsight is 20/20, but he should not have been playing in the first place in Game 6.
To me, thinking about it and the way we were looking at it last night, we're pretty sure it's deliberate, but, you can't really say for certain. Like you said, hindsight is 20/20.
He tried to step on his ankle. If he had thrown a punch, it would have been obvious that he was intentionally.
Well, that's basically what he did today.
Yeah, basically. But was he not? You didn't say for sure afterwards. Was he thrown from the game after that play?
It's a flagrant. It was a flagrant two. It's an automatic ejection.
Was it a flagrant one or two?
Two.
Okay, so it was a flagrant two. So at the very least, he didn't play the rest of that game. To me, looking at how hard he hit him, and again with
you've got to factor in the ankle thing, and you go, I think the NBA
and looking at his history,
you've got to look at his history, and you also have to look at I think what he stirred up game one with Porzingis getting ejected. He was the instigator in all that. And the NBA officials in game one tried to say that Porzingis wasn't the instigator. And to me, you have every right as the NBA to look back at this and say, you know what? You're out for a game. At least a game. Yes, he has been a negative. I just don't know how you can root behind a guy like that.
Because at this point, the way he's been acting and what has transpired through this series between the Clippers and the Mavericks, it doesn't reflect well on the league. And that should be first and foremost in their consideration.
And, it doesn't reflect well on the league. It also doesn't reflect well on a guy who's supposed to be a veteran in the NBA, roughing up a second-year guy, or what is he? Is Doncic a second or third year?
Well, he's got to do something when the guy's got, twice the skill.
Doncic is only in his second year.
Yeah, twice the skill. Well, if you consider the bubble to be part of the second year, it's almost like a third year.
The delay between, I think I've said this already, the delay between when it was cut off in March and when the bubble reopened was as long as a traditional NBA offseason.
Yeah. I mean, that's not hard to believe. That's why I asked, well, when is the next season started? Because I'm just like, good Lord, it's over already? For Dallas, of course. And I am excited to see what this team can do. We'll see what happens free agency-wise.
You think you're disappointed? You're not rooting for purple and orange. The Phoenix Suns were undefeated and didn't make the playoffs. Oh,
I thought you were when you said purple, I was thinking, well, by the way, what were you guys' thoughts on the big trade today from the Jaguars to the Vikings?
I didn't catch it. What happened?
Alex?
He's chewing.
Nobody? Nobody got this trade? Wow. Krukos, I'm shocked by this.
I turned ESPN notifications off on my phone.
Okay, I would do that because they acquired a Pro Bowl defensive end from Jacksonville. Did you see what? Who is it? Is it
Yannick Ngakoue.
Yes, and isn't he? So how did you guys miss this earlier today?
It just didn't
you're just catching this for the first time?
What did the Vikings send
away? Is that? I don't think they sent away much, and Ngakoue wanted to get out of Jacksonville. So is this not a big deal for Minnesota?
Of course it's a big deal for Minnesota. It takes a fairly strong defense and adds another key piece.
Especially given the fact that Everson Griffin isn't coming back this year. So, you know, there's a space to be filled on the defensive line.
Is Jahlil Johnson getting much playing time?
I don't think he's on the team anymore.
Oh, he is too.
Is he?
Yes. Look it up. Because I think he played last year a decent amount. I think he was a rotational interior defensive lineman. We're really drifting here, aren't we? But I'm such a shock that you guys... I wanted to ask you about that. By the way, as you're looking that up, I want to get everybody's opinion on this question. I wrote this down on my phone. That way I'd remember to talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
I want to know...
I guess I just missed him.
I want to know what it would take for you guys. Like, what sort of a challenge would it take for you guys to listen to every Brad is Branded Thoughts show from start to finish? Go back and listen to every single one of them, and you only have...
By challenge, you mean money?
No, I mean not necessarily money, but like, there's got to be some sort of a... There has to be some sort of an incentive. Like, what would it take for you to be like, all right, I'll take on that challenge for this? And I'm telling you, it's not like you can just turn it on and go to work. You've got to be listening to it. So you can have it in your headphones as you're working. You can listen to it as you're just sitting there. You have to listen to every show from start to finish. And Noah, any thoughts on that? Now, you may say, oh, that's crazy. Any thoughts on what it would make to make it worth it? You and I both know college football's, the Big Ten's not starting right now. It may start in November. We'll talk about it. We're not going to have the NBA after the playoffs are done here, which are going to be done pretty quick because they're playing every other day. And we're not going to have sports for a while. The NFL, we hope, is going to go on as normal. But what would it take to listen to every show from start to finish, from week one to week 125?
For this guy right here to listen to all 125 episodes would probably take a year's supply of oatmeal cream pies.
I don't eat oatmeal cream pies anymore. I'm on a diet.
But you do eat you know, see what he said there, Alex? He says he doesn't eat oatmeal cream pies. What he didn't say is, I don't eat double-decker oatmeal cream pies. I don't eat double-deckers. So, Alex, what would it take for you to do that?
Let's see, 125 times 3 hours a piece.
Some of them have been short, actually. I had one that
Facebook Live post too.
Yes. You guys think about it. By the way, one other thing I did want to mention. Again, I write down notes every once in a while, things that I want to bring up on the podcast, and I forget about it. Several weeks back, maybe it was actually a couple of months back, there was a transfer. I don't know where he came from, but he was transferring. A college basketball transfer. He transferred to a different school. His name is Pauly Polycap. Excuse me, Pauly Polycap. Okay, P-A-U-L-Y, Pauly, and the last name is Polycap. P-A-U-L-I-C-A-P.
But what does his name go by the name of?
Okay. On the count of three, everybody say it with me. Pauly Polycap. 1, 2, 3. Pauly.
Paul.
Pauly. Okay. Pauly Polycap. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why am I bringing up Pauly Polycap? Anybody know?
He has an illiterate name.
Guess where he transferred to?
To Iowa?
No.
Cal Poly?
No. Good question. Pauly Polycap. Look it up. Look it up. Don't say anything. If you know, Noah, look it up.
Spell it.
Noah, look it up. Google it. Search Pauly Polycap basketball. See where he transferred to. Are you looking it up, Noah? Did Noah leave?
Cal Poly.
Where's Noah at? Is he here?
I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up.
He transferred to Cal Poly.
No. Paul E. Polycap. Nobody say it.
He transferred to, Pauly Polycap transferred to, I can't even say it, DePaul.
Pauly Polycap is at DePaul. What the heck? How does that even happen? You know, someone want to explain that to me? I read that, and it wasn't even an article that was like making fun of it. It was like an article, just like a news article. And I'm like, is this got to be a? I actually had to research it further. I'm like, did the person that wrote this article just get the name wrong? That's literally his name. Pauly Polycap plays for DePaul.
It sounds like a riddle.
Yeah. Okay. So where were we? What were we talking about? Basketball? Anything else before we move on from basketball? I mean, the Jazz and Nuggets are going to go 7, so we'll see that game Tuesday. Alex, you want to predict on that? I mean, would you predict? I mean, right now I'd have to go Nuggets simply because they've got the momentum, but I mean, Donovan Mitchell's still scoring over 40 a game.
If I was betting, I'd probably slightly favor the Nuggets. I do think it'll be interesting if the Jazz, I mean, either way, but especially if the Jazz win, how they're going to deal with Morris, because one hole I think they have as a team is they don't have much for physical players. And I don't know if you remember when Jay Crowder played for the Jazz, but they had a really physical series against the Thunder. And he was the one constantly instigating, and you just know that if he was still there that he would have been going at Morris. So without him, I'm not sure what they're going to do with him. As far as the Nuggets, they have a little bit more size inside. Plumlee gets into stuff sometimes, and Jokic is a big body. So I think they'll probably, I don't know if they'll match up better against the Clippers, but they'll be able to deal with that physical play better. But I think I'd probably slightly favor the Nuggets right now.
From that perspective, can we all agree that Dallas really missed Willie Cauley-Stein? I know everybody thinks he's kind of a joke in the NBA, but from a tough guy standpoint, he's probably a guy who would have clotheslined Marcus Morris. I mean, Dallas really didn't have anybody that was willing to rough it up. I mean, Boban is not that guy.
Don't mess with a guy who has face tattoos.
Yes. He's crazy. Isn't he crazy looking? So I'm anxious to see if Dallas retains him next year, because I know they got him on trade. Does anybody know what they got as far as a deal, as far as his contract? Because I am interested to know that, because they've also got Dwight Powell. We mentioned him, and then Maxi Kleba and Porzingis. I don't know how they could hang on to all those guys. I don't think you're going to see a Dallas squad with Porzingis, Kleba, Dwight Powell, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Boban. I just don't see that happening, because I think they need to get somebody else. And I do love Boban. He just seems like a cool guy. Very much like Doncic. We were talking about European guys being really humble.
Okay, so on Cauley-Stein's contract, right? That's what you wanted me to look up. It was a 2-year deal for $4.46 million. The second year is a player option. So 2 years for $4.5 million.
You're saying that's the contract they inherited?
That's the contract he signed with them. He actually signed a contract with the Mavericks.
Oh, so he's here. He's here for the next year.
2 years. That includes this year.
Yeah.
Next year is a player option for $2.5 million or so.
So what does that mean?
Was he released by Golden State, or did Dallas trade for him?
I thought he traded. I thought they traded him.
See, according he was traded.
It signed an extension. That has to be an extension, which means he would kick in next year.
He signed the contract with Golden State.
Okay.
The events were listed out of order. He signed the contract in January. No, he signed the contract in the offseason in July and was traded in January early this year.
Are you guys at all bought into Willie Cauley-Stein?
Not really.
What he is now is what he's going to be for the next 3 or 4 years until he just disappears. And everybody asks,
of him,
where did he go?
I think of him kind of like a JaVale McGee.
Yeah, he
but
doesn't
I think
have
he might
quite
have a
the same
bit.
Level of athleticism, though. He's smarter. But that's not hard. Like, there's J.R. Smith and JaVale McGee. And then there's, like, everybody else.
Yeah, there's just something
about
J.R. Smith.
I thought
they're in a different tier.
I thought we would.
Thought we had the lead.
Or no, I thought we had the lead. I can't remember what it was.
Why didn't you shoot it?
I thought we had the lead.
Also, the guy that threw soup at one of his coaches.
That's what J.R. Smith did?
Yep.
You ever seen the video on YouTube of J.R. Smith and LeBron James riding in downtown L.A.? Alex, have you seen this? This guy's driving by, and he's like, look who's out on the bikes, and they're just riding their bikes. It's ridiculous. And this guy's like, oh, as he goes by LeBron. It's hilarious. Anyways, all right. We talked Heat. So the Heat closed out the Nets. We know the Toronto Raptors advanced. The Heat didn't play the Nets. Who did the Heat play?
Pacers.
The Celtics closed out the Sixers. The Magic lost to the Bucks, and the Raptors beat the Nets. So we've got Raptors, Celtics. We know Celtics took game one. Tomorrow we've got Bucks and Heat. As far as the Western Conference side, we've got the Clippers and either the Jazz or the Nuggets. And then we've got either the Houston Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder playing the Lakers, right? So that's right. Where we're at right now.
The only thing we didn't cover as far as NBA is concerned that we did cover in our attempt at the podcast last night is the discussion between Doncic and Giannis.
Gosh, let's not go down that road again.
You already know where I stand on this, Corey.
The
stats.
So, Mike, you believe that you would rather form a team for the future, you'd rather form around Giannis right now than Doncic.
Yes.
And Noah, Giannis or Doncic, who would you rather form a team around?
Giannis.
Wow. Alex?
Giannis has a higher PER. Giannis has a higher VORP. Giannis has a
higher... I don't know what any of that means.
Shares. He has a higher win shares. He has a higher win shares per 48 minutes. He has a better true shooting percentage.
I don't really care what all that means. Alex, you want to...
Points, he gets more rebounds, he gets more assists. Well,
his name is Alex.
He doesn't make everybody else around him better. I've went through this over and over again. Alex...
You
Doncic automatically elevates.
Literally every time you say the name Alex, my guy says something. Say it again.
Alex.
Shut up, Corey.
It's only a podcast.
That's a tough one. I mean, they're kind of opposite players, I think. One is super skilled and not very athletic. The other one's super athletic and not very skilled. So
I don't agree with that either, but
yeah, well, he's a good.
You're saying that in front of Micaiah. I
think he's a good ball handler and
I don't
good
think
on defense.
I agree with you. I don't think he's very skilled at all. And that's just my opinion. He's a freak. He's an athletic freak. And he can't shoot threes and he can't shoot free throws. What else is he? He is athletic. He's more athletic than anybody else in the league.
He's incredibly intelligent. He's a great defender. He has incredible rebounding skill, even in spite of his athleticism. He puts up numbers that are crazy. He has next level intelligence and can see the game ahead of most other players.
He doesn't see the head of... Okay, but, Alex, would you agree with this? And I mean Alex. Okay. You can't possibly argue that Giannis sees the game ahead of Doncic. Am I right on that? I mean, and that's not necessarily Giannis' fault. Doncic is a point guard. He is a point forward. And Giannis is not. I mean, and that's, again, not saying that Giannis is supposed to be. I'm just saying, I'm not denying. Listen, I would put Giannis in the top. And I would put Giannis in my top 10 of players in the league right now. I'd probably put him in the top 8. My guy doesn't like that answer. And Noah's going to take his spot. Okay, Noah, can I just give you, let me give you my likely top. Noah, let me give you my likely top 10. All right.
Okay.
And then you react to it. Now, again, I know you guys think that Giannis is the best player, and that you have a right to that opinion. And here's what I think. My best players in the league right now, I'm going to go LeBron James at 1. Okay.
Okay. That's understandable.
At 2, I'm going to go Kawhi Leonard.
Also okay. Understandable.
I didn't prepare this in advance, by the way. At 3, I'm going to probably go. See, that's tough. I don't want to say James Harden because I don't think all around, like I don't like James Harden at all. And I don't think as far as an all around player, he's the third best player in the world. I mean, maybe I go Giannis. I don't know. I just don't think it's as clear cut as Makai is making it out to be.
And I don't think he says it's as he thinks it's as clear cut as he makes it out to be.
He doesn't like the fact that I said top 8.
Yeah, when you said, you know, top 10, he was expecting Giannis to be like 10 on that list.
No.
Here's the thing about what Micaiah thinks. He said that he thinks Giannis is the best. And I believe he said this last night when we were trying to record a podcast. He thinks Giannis is the best. And personally, it's really close for me. Between the first two you mentioned of LeBron and Kawhi, and then adding Giannis to that list, that's a really close top 3 to me. But to Micaiah, it's close enough between those three players that if you put any of those three on the top, he understands. It's just,
I've got four guys ahead of him.
Yeah, I was going to say, so let me, before you go on, Alex, let me just ask you guys, and I'm not saying you haven't pondered this, but Giannis is great. I'm not denying that. So I hope you realize that when I am talking down Giannis, it's more just because I'm putting Doncic. I think that building a team around Doncic, I would rather that, and I'm just making my case for that. But keep this in mind. We're talking about rating players. Okay, say you're going to put Giannis in the top 3. So I think you guys probably agree the top 3 in whatever order are LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis. Can we agree on that? But where's Kevin Durant in that? He's hurt right now. At one point, he was considered to be maybe with the top 2 or 3. Where's he at? Where's Kyrie Irving? He's not playing in the bubble either. He's hurt. Where is he in all that? I know you guys are going to laugh at this, but I think a healthy John Wall is one of the best players in the league. Look at
there goes my guy. You just lost him.
Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. Now, you may just say I'm rattling off players. Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. You know, I think, and you're going to laugh at this one too, I think Brandon Ingram has really come of age. Now, I'm not saying I can put Brandon Ingram above Giannis. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, have you guys really thought, have you ever ranked these guys? Like, 1 through 30? I think it would be an interesting discussion because I really don't think the gap is as large as we're...
Sit down and try and go through like 30, 35. Because once you get out of the 15 to 20 range,
well,
it's really difficult.
But I mean, can we all agree those guys? Donovan Mitchell looks right now in this series like one of the top 10 players in the league. No question about it.
So does Jamal Murray.
But Jamal, the thing about Jamal Murray is we're used to him being streaky. And now, that's speaking of streaky, Devin Booker. Is he going to be in the top 10 in a year or two? These are all questions to be had. I mean, you guys aren't buying into the John Wall thing. Why aren't you buying into the John Wall thing? Because he's been hurt? Or just because he plays on a crappy Wizards team? And he's overshadowed by Bradley Beal. I mean, these are things to just think about. I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying he's
an all-star. It's hard to tell, right? With players like John Wall and Kevin Durant and the major injuries that they've had, and how long, well, specifically in Wall's case, but it's starting to get this way with Durant and how long it's going to be before he sees the floor again. We just don't know where they're at right now. So, like, yeah, before his injury, Kevin Durant was in that top three list of players. But nobody at this point knows where he's going to be when he comes back.
Okay, I'll give you another
one. Achilles injury is a very serious thing. Remember what it did to Kobe.
Let me give you another couple of them. Two other big men from Kentucky, Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis. I mean,
AD is top 10.
Okay, and I think Karl Anthony Towns is top 15.
Probably.
I mean, you guys aren't buying into Cat. I mean, I think he's, again, let's be honest right now. The best players in the league, we think of on the best team. Now you can say, well, it's because they elevate their teams. That may be true. Giannis is with the Bucks. LeBron James with the Lakers. Those two teams are one seeds. Then you got Kawhi, who we put in the top three. They're the two seed. He's on a two seed team. And then you've got, who do we put after that? Those were the top three. I just think that sometimes we get distracted by team performance and living in the moment. Right now, guys like Karl Anthony Towns aren't playing. Kevin Durant's not playing. Kyrie Irving's not playing. I just think it's an interesting discussion. I don't know. Chris Paul, is he in the discussion? I think Russell Westbrook would have been in the discussion 2 years ago, right? I mean, do you remember Russell Westbrook a couple of years ago was getting like triple doubles every single night?
Yes.
Like every single night. Harden was getting 50 points every single night.
Yes. Harden was putting up offensive statistics that were, this isn't an exaggeration, Chamberlain-esque. He was breaking records that were held by Wilt Chamberlain when it comes to scoring and how long he kept that scoring streak up.
I think Kemba Walker is a really underrated player, and he's partially, I think, a big reason why he's underrated because of his size. And he also played on a terrible Bobcats team for so long. I mean, heck, this was his first playoff series win in his entire career, and he's a veteran.
Well, let's see. Is it his first playoff appearance?
No.
No, he lost two series with the Bobcats. In fact, I think both of them may have been to LeBron. I'm not sure. But I guess what I'm just saying is I would probably, now that we're talking about it, I'd probably put Giannis top three. And I'm not, I have a hard time right now putting him ahead of LeBron. And after watching Kawhi, I don't know how I could put him ahead of Kawhi. Now, maybe, you know, if the Bucks go out and win, you know, he's MVP in the league, he's MVP for the finals. You know, I'm not saying I won't change my mind. Alex, you got any final thoughts on this subject before we move on?
Well, I think Giannis, because of his age, I mean, if we're talking about who we want to build a team around, that's possibly the most important factor. But if we're talking about who is the best right now, to me, I think it's hard to rank guys, but I think there's kind of a number one tier, and I think that number one tier has got to be LeBron, KD, Kawhi, and I think Steph Curry. And I think you put guys like Harden, Giannis, and there's quite a few more that you'd put on that second tier. They're not quite as complete of players as impactful as, so, you know, those first three I named are totally complete two-way players. Steph Curry's not really two-way player, but, you know, he's a guy that, how could you not have him on at tier one? I mean, there's never been anyone like him, and he's literally changed the game. So I don't think you could argue that he's not there. And you know, the championships that he's won are a big factor. But I think on that second tier, you have guys that haven't won chips yet. All those guys in the first tier have won chips. The second tier, you got guys like Harden, who, like you were saying, was averaging 40 for a long time, hasn't won a championship. Giannis has been dominant, hasn't won a championship, and has holes in his game still. Harden obviously has holes in his game. So I think he's right there.
Where's Kyrie?
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard to delineate beyond that second tier. I think that's where it would get really messy. I would just say the only one I'm comfortable with is probably that first tier. I think Anthony Davis has the potential to be right there on the edge of that first tier also. He's not there as of now.
Carl Anthony Towns, in my opinion.
There's so many guys that have unbelievable skill sets. I mean, Joel Embiid, if he actually plays and is in shape, I mean, I don't know if you saw him at the All-Star game, but he was unstoppable. He's playing against the best guys in the NBA, and they were having to double him because he was absolutely unstoppable. So, you know, the NBA is full of guys like that.
Unstoppable in the All-Star game doesn't really say much. Everybody's unstoppable in the All-Star game.
No, I don't know if you watched it.
No, you mean
no, I stopped watching the All-Star game about 8 years ago.
Well, you should watch it again because the last 2 years they've been picking teams. It's not East versus West anymore, and it's not this showboating Harlem Globetrotters-looking thing. They're actually playing, and this last one was extremely competitive because they had a new format where they played to, I think, was the first one to 150 points. No?
No, it was... I'm trying to remember. They played full quarters, then whichever team has the lead after three full quarters... add 24 to that score, and that's the target score.
Okay. Yeah, it was very competitive is all I know. The last 2 years have been quite good. The team captain's thing is necessary because the West has been so good for so long. The East never really stood a chance, but you should go back and watch at least this past year because it was definitely worth watching, and it made the All-Star game. Because like you, I'd pretty much quit watching it because I just didn't. Who wants to see guys throwing lobs and not playing defense? But they were playing defense, and it was really quite good the last 2 years. So, but anyways, you know, I think there are a lot of guys, pretty much anybody who's an all-star, some of those guys are just right there on the edge. And I think what separates some of them is that top tier that I was talking about is completeness of their game and championships. And I think guys like Giannis, they have more potential, possibly. They just haven't. I don't think you could put them in the same tier with those guys.
The completeness of the game is a very good point that you bring up, Alex, because you're talking about guys like LeBron and Kawhi that can do all of the major aspects of the game, whether it's finishing at the basket, shooting, handling the ball, being the initiator, or playing defense. They do everything. Everything that they need to do.
But so Steph, though, I don't agree with him being on the tier one then.
Well, remember, I gave the caveat that he's not really a two-way player, but you can't argue the impact that he has. I mean, a guy that has literally changed the face of the game.
Yeah, but what has he done? What has he done besides playing a super team?
I mean, he's had it easy. So, you know,
there was a super team that only existed because of Steph Curry. That's what he did.
Yeah, but he
pre-Kevin Durant, that Warriors team was only as great as they were.
Okay.
But they were as great as they were mostly because of Steph Curry.
Okay, well, that's... yeah.
He has one of the most profound effects on the team's offense.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, can you put him in the same tier as LeBron and Kawhi is what I'm asking because...
I don't.
Well,
Alex to put in there.
Well, no, apparently he is Alex. Apparently he is Alex because I argued Alex and then Micaiah starts arguing for Alex.
Well, I agree. I know what you're saying. And that's why, you know, I had thought of that is, you know, he's not a guy who's a defensive stopper. Kevin Durant is a beast on defense. People forget. He, you know, when he was at the Warriors, he was, I think, a defensive player of the year candidate. The other two guys, LeBron plays defense when he wants to. When he does, he's a fantastic defender. Kawhi, you don't even have to mention him. So Yeah, Steph doesn't have that, but he's got the championships, he's got the experience, and the impact that he's had on not just the games he plays, but on the game of basketball. I don't see how you can put him out of that top tier. I think he belongs there, even though he doesn't quite have as complete a game as those other three.
Guy we're not talking about for these tiers is George Niang.
You're just upset because he used to wear red.
No, I'm not that upset about it. I do think Dallas, I was reading on social media. It's funny, Alex, I don't know if you noticed this, if you follow the Jazz on Facebook, but on the Mavs site, almost everybody who comments on these on the Mavs posts, and it's actually a breath of fresh air, almost all of these NBA fans for the Mavs are foreign people, are people from other countries. Yeah. And it's always like Luka loses, the Mavericks lose a series today, and all the comments are, Luka kept fight, but Mavs need KP healthy, best that he rest. I'm sorry, but if it's just people who speak English, they're on there, it'd be like, you know, Carlisle needs to go. What a joke of a coach. You know, Burke shouldn't even be playing in the NBA. He's a G League at best. You know, all these trolls. It's just all they are. And that's what I'm used to with college posts anyways.
Yeah, I get that a lot with the Jazz. A lot of the fan bases that shows up, the vocal fan base is very toxic. But there is a lot of foreign.
Oh, really? It's not because it's Mavs are like all foreign, you know, fans, yeah. Which is nice. That's nice.
There's quite a bit of that with Utah also, probably more with having Doncic and Porzingis and your two superstars.
You know what's funny? Doncic, I don't know if you guys have thought about how much Mark Cuban and Donnie Nelson Jr. love going the European route. Doncic, Porzingis, Maxi Kleber's from the same hometown as Dirk Nowitzki.
Yep.
Dirk Nowitzki's the greatest player in the history of the franchise. And I'm missing a couple people. Boban Marjanovic. Boban Marjanovic. Am I missing somebody else as well? I feel like I am. Well, JJ Bray is from South America, right? Or he's from the Dominican, right? Dominican or Puerto Rico? Where's JJ from? I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Puerto Rico. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, we talked about this yesterday off the air. I sometimes think that sometimes the guys from overseas who didn't grow up here are a little bit more humble and appreciate the game and love their teammates a little bit. They're a little bit more genuine. Can we all agree on that, at least from a generic, broad standpoint? Okay. Alex?
What was the question?
Some of these guys from other countries and foreign players, European players, even the best ones like Doncic, Porzingis, a little bit more humble than the average basketball player in the NBA.
It definitely seems like it.
By the way, what was with that Mike Conley banked in three in the first quarter? I've never seen a shot bank in like that. I'm watching it right now. The replay.
Yeah, I mean,
and it just went straight in and straight down. I've never seen a bank shot like that.
The way he reacted, the fact that he's a vet, usually I assume that was an accident. But, you know, he's a very, I haven't watched him much before this year, but I don't know if you have, but he shoots, you know, he's a lefty. He shoots with his right hand with floaters and stuff with ease. And he's kind of an unorthodox player. It makes me wonder if that was on purpose. But then Jokic later in the game banked on a straight on three, which is even more unlikely that was for real. So it evened out.
Okay. Anything else to add NBA-wise before we move on? What is that? Is that a toddy?
No.
Oh.
It's just a lot of root beer.
It's just root beer. There's nothing in there. There's no booze in there.
Okay. No, it's just root beer. Diet root beer.
You just it's late at night.
Your bottle?
Diet?
Yes.
Why diet? Because you guys are on a diet?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but the diet stuff's not good for you either.
I don't care.
All right. All right. Now I'm going to get ready to launch. By the way, here's what I'm thinking on the whole, what does Dallas need? Now, granted, he's playing at Iowa this year. But how about Dallas going after Luka Garza in the 2021 draft? Now, hear me out on this, Alex, for real here. 6'11", Bosnian, name is Luka.
But he's American.
I got two words for you, Corey.
His mom is from Bosnia.
The first word is pipe. The second one is dream.
Why is that a pipe dream? Alex, in all honesty, you don't think Luka Garza might be the perfect fit? He plays in an up-tempo style, just like Dallas. Iowa and Dallas are very similar in that regard. He's 6'11". They need a big guy. Obviously, you got to have a big guy that can stretch the floor. He is. I know you say he's from America, but he's got European roots. No? Am I wrong on this?
To me, it seems like Dallas already has size. I mean, I think he'd be a better
fit. They don't have any big men. They don't have a single big man, actually. Unless you call Willie Cauley-Stein a big man. Yes!
They got like three guys that are over 7 feet.
Okay. Boban Marjanovic is not a starter. Boban Marjanovic is not a starter, and Porzingis is not a five. Those are the only two guys that are over 7 foot. Maxi Kleber played a lot of five. He should not be playing five. Dwight Powell didn't play in the playoffs, but he's like 6'9". He's not a five, even though he plays a lot of five. And Willie Cauley-Stein is the only true five they have. And I don't even know that he's a real five, but he plays five because he's not skilled enough to play four.
Probably not fast enough either. Teams nowadays play a lot of undersized players. They basically play two small forwards.
What about Andre Drummond?
I would love Andre Drummond. I've wished that Dallas would get Andre Drummond for the last 5 years. Honestly, Andre Drummond's always been a guy. Who's the other guy that I was hoping that Dallas would go after? Definitely Drummond. If this is probably 3 years ago, I hope was kind of wanting Dallas to go after, is it Greg Monroe? Is it Greg Monroe?
Yeah, Greg Monroe.
But he's just fallen off, hasn't he?
Yeah, pretty good.
He's with the Bucks for a while. But he was having pretty good, putting up pretty good numbers for a while, wasn't he, Micaiah?
For a while. He just kind of fell off a cliff, went splat, and
never recovered. But no, Andre Drummond, absolutely. And Andre, let's be honest, Andre Drummond needs to get on a contender. Is he still with Detroit?
He's that kind of player that you can potentially get for a mid-level contract because...
Is he with Detroit right now?
He just got traded to Cleveland.
He wanted out of Detroit, so he got sent to Cleveland, the poor guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a very good turnaround.
I do not understand what Cleveland is trying to do.
Free agent.
Well, remember they didn't work out with John Beilein as head coach, so they're in a total rebuild process. Greg Monroe, if he was the player of 3 years ago, Andre Drummond definitely would be a good candidate. I would love for Dallas to get somebody like Karl-Anthony Towns, but they're not gonna be able to swing somebody like that with the contracts they already have with Porzingis and Doncic.
Honestly, I don't think they... Of course, it would be great to have two highly skilled big men like that to play side-by-side in Towns and Porzingis, but
Whiteside is also a free agent, but...
I don't like Hassan Whiteside. To me, he's toxic.
He's very overrated for his...
Well, to me, he's just... Again, I don't like guys who are known to be kind of just thugs. I don't want Marcus Morris on Dallas. I don't want... I don't want PJ Tucker on Dallas. I don't want Patrick Beverley on Dallas. You get the gist?
You want PJ Tucker?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You definitely.
Why?
Would. He's a beast.
He's not a beast. He's a thug. I've watched him play. He's a thug.
He's possibly the best defender in the NBA for his size.
Here we go. Alex going on with the hyperbolic speech.
Hey, the guy's 6'6" and plays center. Cut him some slack.
Draymond Green is 6'5".
Yeah, I don't want Draymond Green on Dallas. I can go down
the list. I understand.
I can go down the list on this. Hey, by the way, how's Denzel Valentine playing for... I mean, obviously he's not playing right
now. He's not.
But is he progressing the way Chicago fans were hoping he would be? Because
we don't
when
know
he was at Michigan State...
He's not playing time.
As good as we were hoping he would be.
But, I mean, drafted. He's still young. Is he maturing and progressing?
He's an off-the-bench role player, but he fits that role really well. And the coach just refused to play him. At first, because he was injured, but once he was healthy, for really no reason.
So you don't
good riddance.
You think he deserves? You don't think he deserves to be a starter?
No. I'm not talking about Valentine. I'm talking about Jim Boylan. Good riddance to Jim Boylan.
The Bulls fired the worst coach in the NBA.
Finally, it only took a change in GM.
Yeah, but they just fired Hoiberg. So
they're on the floor. And refuses to call a timeout when his team has the ball, so the opposing team's head coach...
I can't imagine being a Bulls fan. Ow! I can't imagine being a Bulls fan. Huh?
That was a Mavericks game that happened.
By the way, Bulls-Mavs games are always entertaining. I don't know why. Always some of the best regular season games are always Mavs-Bulls. I don't know why. Is Zach LaVine still... Zach LaVine, can you put him in the conversation, Alex, for... second tier, or is that just stupid?
Don't do it.
He's a borderline all-star, and he's probably not going to get that much better from where he's at.
By the way, what is this thing with big men in the NBA? Is it because it's a guards game now? Why is it that we see big men drop off the face of the earth? We saw that with Greg Monroe. We saw that with Nerlens Noel. We saw that with Andrew Bynum. We saw that with Kwame Brown. We saw that with Nene. Where are these guys going?
Nene had a long career.
Yeah, I guess he just had probably retired, right? Or moved on.
Kenneth Faried.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is kind of a strange.
Well, he was basically just a super athlete, so when his athleticism fell off, his career was over.
I know, but like, what about the guys I just said with Monroe and Bynum and like what happened to Sagana Jop? What happened to
Eddie Curry? That's what we really want to know.
Who?
Eddie Curry. No, Google Eddie Curry.
I know Eddie Curry. You don't need to Google him, Noah.
This is not for your sake, Corey. This is for Noah's sake.
I mean, what happened to Peja Stojakovic?
Check the images.
Stojakovic is like
the boy.
Pippen, he just fell off.
Yeah, why isn't Wilt Chamberlain?
He's dead.
Is he really?
Bill Russell. Why isn't Wilt Chamberlain still dead?
I think he has a heart condition.
But yeah, Wilt is dead.
Wilt is?
Yeah, he's been dead since the late 90s, I think.
You know, I don't know if you guys have you guys seen the TNT video of Shaq crying after finding out about Kobe?
Mouth as big as Wilt Chamberlain's, if he was still alive, you'd hear him.
Did anybody hear the question I asked? Or?
Yeah, I think I saw it.
He talked about, one thing Shaq talked about on TNT after Kobe died was, you know, all the greatest players in the world, what's weird about it, not weird, but what's really interesting about all the greatest players in NBA history, he's like, they're all still alive. Like, this is why it's another reason why it's so hard to lose Kobe. It's like, and besides Wilt, but like Bill Russell, he's alive. Jerry West, he's alive. Larry Bird, he's Kareem. Alive. Kareem's alive. Michael Jordan's alive. Magic Johnson is alive. James Worthy's alive. I mean, everybody, go down the line. John Stockton, he's alive. Karl Malone, everybody's alive.
Havlicek.
Is he gone?
Havlicek died, was it around the turn of the year? It was during this current NBA season.
But let's be honest, it is, obviously the Kobe Bryant situation is tragic, but it is odd in that respect. We don't see NBA guys die young. Like,
Maravich died young.
He died really young, didn't he?
Yeah.
He died like 2-3 years after he stopped playing. He was thinking.
Is Moses Malone alive? Julius Erving's alive, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Is Spud Webb alive?
Yeah.
Spud Webb.
Yeah, Moses Malone is still alive.
Spud Webb gets pulled out occasionally at the dunk contest.
Hey, what about...
Hakeem is still alive.
Hakeem Olajuwon's alive.
He's still alive.
What's Yao Ming doing nowadays?
He's the NBA's official...
ambassador to China.
Yeah, the NBA.
He is, really?
To China, yes.
I love that guy.
Everybody loves him.
I don't know what there isn't to love about Yao Ming, like, in all seriousness. I mean...
He's really unfortunate about his injuries.
Yeah. Well, Bill Walton. Think about Bill... Talk about injuries. Bill Walton might have been one of the best players in NBA history.
Not necessarily an NBA legend.
Who?
Manute Bol is dead.
Yeah. But his son is playing. In the league. Did he play at all tonight, Alex? Is he playing at all in this series?
Bol?
Yeah.
He played in garbage time in one game, but no, he's not seeing the floor. I haven't seen Tyler Cook.
Has Tyler Cook played at all?
Not that I've seen. I think you said you saw him, but I don't remember seeing him. It was garbage time if he did play.
So anyways, let's move on. I do want to mention one thing about the Jazz. What I am concerned about if I'm a Jazz fan is their attitude right now, their demeanor. I saw Rudy Gobert kick that chair over in the fourth quarter during the timeout, arguing with Niang, arguing with I don't know who he was arguing with. Was it Ingles or was it
Conley?
Conley. And then after the game, I don't know if you saw Alex, Donovan Mitchell kicking a bunch of stuff over as he's leaving the court.
Yeah, I see.
Another player was doing that as well. So I wonder about their morale right now.
I don't mind that. I mean, I think something needs to change. And I think if they just kind of coast into this last game, it's going to be more of the same. So I think they need to mix it up a little bit. I don't mind the emotions, especially from those two guys, because like the possession right after Gobert kicked the chair, he went out and played. You know, I was hoping he'd be more motivated because he lost the Defensive Player of the Year. And I was hoping he'd show a little more emotion. I think he needs to play more physical because they don't have that presence on this team. So I don't mind seeing that too much. So I don't know how it'll play out.